I was going to review them and propose that they be adopted.
All right, we have a motion for the approval of the minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, we have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, we have, Matt Lloyd was here earlier. He just had the meetings flipped, so he gave some information to Bob to be able to give, so Bob can report on State Bar criminal.
Yes, so on June 8th, he and Teagan Trotner presented an ethics training at the bar on social media pitfalls. Clayton Sims presented as well. The criminal law section represents both the defense and prosecution, but in years past, and probably continue to do so, it's very heavily dominated by the defense. So we appreciate their involvement, mass involvement. They had elections after the training, and Joel Cottrell, I guess he's a defense attorney here at Oklahoma in Salt Lake, but he was elected to be chair. And then, let's see, John Anderson, another defense attorney, is the new chair, the vice chair. So I guess we've got a lot of this great holding defense oriented. Colleen McGee, the outgoing chair, expressed her thanks to UBC for appointing Matt. I didn't realize that was a position that UBC appointed. I didn't tell my list to look and see if there's other chairs and other committees that we need to be following up on. So she appreciated that. And then the last thing is just requesting that the word go out. Hopefully everybody realizes that the general criminal law is always looking for scholarly articles. Tom is working on that currently now to be submitted. But if you're interested in scholarly writing, you've got anybody in your office that is interested, please encourage them to submit articles to that journal. And that would be Matt's report.
All right, and yeah, Josh Player is heavily involved in that journal as well. So, and not unlike a lot of the bar committees, we just need to get prosecutors and try to get more involved in those.
Right.
All right. Let's go to the conferences, Bob, in Maryland.
We have not had any completed, regional legislative updates. We trained over 300 officers in your local jurisdictions. It went really well. It was an added bonus that we had Greg, Janice McConnus, Matt Lloyd, who else? Russell Smith, and Louise. But we had a representative from the AG's office at every presentation for law enforcement. They're able to share just a little bit about the AG's office, the task force, really promoting UTIP, the simulator. Thank you. The virtual simulator. Do you want to talk about that? Can you just put the word out about the prosecutors there?
Yeah, so the two things that we presented on were Utah Trafficking Persons Task Force, that we meet every first Wednesday of the month. We're really trying to encourage rural prosecutors, both at the city and the county level, to participate on issues of forced labor as well as commercial sex, and identifying issues both in your community and statewide. Where we don't have services in place and we need the services in place. There's micro grants available from an open $3 million grant with the refugee center, the Asian Refugee Center here in Salt Lake as well. So if anybody's in your office is remotely interested, they do not have to attend personally because of the facility that we have in our training room. We can do it remotely, so they just, as we've spoken about before, with just a computer or a phone, you can participate. But we really want to encourage prosecutors, especially rural prosecutors, to engage with us as well. And the other is the virtual simulator, where we're offering that to law enforcement, but also the prosecutors, to better train themselves in the set of use of force assessment and justification. Utah County has a virtual simulator, Salt Lake County has a virtual simulator. Our focus with the funding has been to get rural areas that are not proximate in close proximity to the virtual simulators in Utah County. Salt Lake County, they have big agencies to take care of already to get them through. So we're offering that up to the rural areas. But really want to focus on getting prosecutors through there to have that experience. Any stakeholders you might have in your community, get them through there so they understand those issues and legislators. We worked really hard on getting our legislators too, but it isn't a good experience to share with your stakeholders and your legislators because when it informs or forges a relationship, you guys can talk about the issues you have. So feel free to call Ken Wallenheim as the person, but you're welcome to give me a call and I'll start the article.
Cool, thanks. The CJCPD conference in May went well. We are co-sponsors of that, so I don't have a lot of direct involvement, but Donna and Marilyn are on the planning committee. It was good to note that many of the keynote speakers that they brought in, Donna, I think, had suggested from other conferences that she attended, so we do have a presence with that conference. This year, we also really focused on providing a track for prosecutors and really publicized that. So I think our prosecution numbers were up.
It was up a little bit. With, years before, we had about 95, and she became about 127. So,
The comments from the prosecutors were, you know, it was a great conference overall, but they would like to continue to see domestic violence prosecution in specific tracks, and so I think we're going to try to continue to do that, so we had some success there. When I did a summary, obviously UVA was still coming up. UVAA has now passed.
We just concluded at noon. We had 96 in attendance. That's up. Typically we have between 75 and 80. So our registration is up. So thank you for sending your people. Sorry to give the report. We were really happy to see 12 people took the CUPA test. So that's pretty much unheard of. Usually it's, you know, 4 or 5 in past years when we first started. It was, you know, that high, but it helped people take the test. Joelle will do that. She's in charge of it from Wasatch County. She's in charge of all that, so she'll do the corrections and all that kind of stuff. And then when you get to the offices, you'll get a thing in the mail letting you know that they passed. You don't know what their score is, but at least they got, 80%? 80% or more, I think it is, to pass it. Comments we received just initially was, this is the best conference that they have ever been to. So it was really a really good conference. Donna was there, talked to us about perspective from prosecutors. Tyson was there, told us about body cams. And we got in Kim Duno. CJC a couple of times. She's a social worker, kind of motivational speaker, humor, a lot of humor. And then we have Elizabeth Ortiz that came back and talked to us about the Holocaust, that what you do matters. So, and Josh Miller is there giving our civility, and y'all got the civility at Spring Conference. So, it was a really phenomenal conference. Good time, but we'll never come back here again. So, not for a while. From what happened in February in the fall conference, they kind of messed us over, charged us about $7,000 extra, and
which Marilyn got back.
I went after them and I got it all back. The credit is back. But just some of the services and some of the things that have happened from them, and we were compelled to come back. Probably wasn't our first choice, but we probably won't contract with them for a while.
Our keynote speaker wasn't, even though she was on the master list, they didn't have a room for her, but they really did. But they messed up on how they entered her name and the electricity in her room went out this morning, and the room was too small, it was too hot, and it was just
And the first day, Ron and I had to set up the room. We had a very good legislative update by First True Lady. Actually, they did it really good. They did legislate something. So it was a really good conference. Rocky, you said you had some comments from your people.
My staff said they liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I was terrified.
Love that motivational speaker, whatever.
Karen Gino.
Yeah, she's great.
She's not what you expect when you first see her. And we may bring her back for a prosecutor. She does do one for a prosecutor. So She, you know, brings humor to things like grieving and death, and how she does that is pretty impressive. So it's, she has all laughing, and then Elizabeth has some crying, and, you know, it was a good comment. Anything else on that? We have two positions open, so we're taking applications for that. One of the offices, they're not here, but the bosses did not understand that it would not come out of the budget for them to serve on the board. So any of your people want to send in an application, if they ask you, you can see pays for all of their expenses. It's just their time that would be required out of their office. And at least a two-year commitment. We've got some people that have been on there for 19 years. So, at least 2 years. That's my
okay.
Report.
And one city, one county, right?
One city, one county.
It's two cities.
Oh, two cities.
No, it's one city, one county initially, but we're not getting any county people. But we only have one city person on there right now, and then the rest are county. So if we get two more city, we're okay with that. Because after all, our appropriation comes from the municipality, so.
All right, thank you. Let's go to tab B in our schedule, training schedule for the rest of the year.
So we've got OPA coming up August 4th and 5th. Remember, it is for misdemeanor prosecutors, not just municipal attorneys. So I, County Attorney Calista, can I please encourage your misdemeanor prosecutors to attend? The agenda is going to focus on some regulated driving issues and other issues. Tyson's been heavily involved in our planning that conference, helping us to bring out the TSRP, his counterpart from Colorado. I think it's going to be a good conference. There's also going to be, and I realize I didn't put on here, some major business that's going to take place at OOMBA. Since Tyson's been a bit more involved with that, you want to give a kind of brief overview?
So, before I officially resigned as OOMBA president, when I took over my new duties, we put together kind of an ad hoc committee that helped us put bylaws in place for OOMBA, which had never existed in the past. There will be a little bit of a change. OOMBA gets to provide two voting members of SWAP for SWAP rules. That's always just been the president and the president-elect. Going forward, it's going to be the president who's a voting member, and then they also created an executive representative position in OOMBA. So there'll be a president, a vice president, and an executive representative. The vice president will not be a voting member of SWAP until they take over as president. The idea behind this was to get maybe somebody in the cities, not a brand new city prosecutor, coming in and participating in these SWAT meetings and being a voting member. It'll require a minimum of 5 years experience, and it's a 4-year commitment rather than a 2-year commitment for the others. And we just want to get maybe people a little bit more experience, a little bit more face time and pull to be at these meetings and voting members of these. And The crew, Steve, you were part of that, Bob was part of that. Were you in on those meetings? Or did you just get volunteered to be the interim president? Yeah, I just got volunteered to be the interim president until our next conference. But so we'll vote on that. They'll vote on that. I guess I'm not really a misdemeanor prosecutor anymore, but I'll be there. Another thing that we talked about, we brought this up in SWAP, but reviving MISLAC. We'll talk about that there. We really want OOMBA to guide that. Now, whether it's the OOMBA president who chairs it or somebody else, in the past, Ed had chaired it. And I told Steve, if OOMBA wants me to chair it, I'm happy to still do that. But I want OOMBA to really drive that bus and be involved in getting that up and going, because it's their membership who is going to contribute and make this life work anyway. So anything else on that, Bob?
I think I was just be aware that, yeah, like OOMBA does want to a greater voice.
Yeah.
Cool, thanks. Basic, we've got the agenda set with Matt Bates assuming the bench. We had to find a new full-time faculty for that week. We invited Anne-Marie Howard from Juab County. She was one of our top students from Train the Trainer. So She's going to join us, and then we plan on bringing in several of the students from Train-the-Trainer to shadow, to teach some of the courses so that we can begin to incorporate from that. We've already had several who registered. We even have two prosecutors from Wyoming who called and expressed interest in attending. Naturally, they'll pay all of their own expenses, you know, like we do for our students here, but we're excited. You can anticipate in, you know, reaching out to your offices just for some nominations as to who should attend. Excuse me, fall conference. Let's see, it's in there. You'll see the Magical Mystery Tour, When Your Case Goes Mental. The name, the theme for that conference came from Craig Wharton. We're also calling it the Craig Wharton Conference. If you look through this, you'll see that Craig is scheduled to present on a number of mental health-related issues. Our keynote speaker is Joy Crockler, the DA from Aurora, Colorado, that prosecuted the theater shooting. He is coming. Our counterparts our national counterparts have heard him say that he does an outstanding presentation, so we're excited. It is in Vernal. We want to pump up Vernal. Greg was with me in Vernal in May when we did a legislative update. He can tell you about the great mountain biking trails, hiking trails. I have been there, and Vernal is not your grandfather's Vernal. There are two new hotels. We'll be staying in one of them, the Marriott's Uptown Spring Hill Suites. Beautiful facility, and it's a short walk, probably a drive over to the conference facility. I was able to go through it this year. It is beautiful. It's probably the nicest conference facility that we will have used in a very long time. State of the art. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. So as you're getting your prosecutors to come or telling them they need to come and they're poo-pooing Vernal, it's a shorter drive, at least from the Wasatch Front, the road to St. George or Moab. And it really is a hidden gem here in the state. I'm hoping that after we come, that we may go back in the future because it will really be a beautiful venue. The Civil Government Civil Conference. We're welcoming new people on Civil Act, so I guess we'll be working with Valerie in the future. Is that what she's been training? Yeah. So they have planned their conference. I think it's going to be a great conference as well. You can see the agenda. One thing that I liked that they're doing a little bit differently than we've seen other conferences is they're doing TED Talks. We're going to have four little TED Talks. If you guys are familiar with what TED Talks are, it's an 18-minute, highly condensed, very informing presentation. And so they wanted to try that format out. So we're looking forward to that as well as what's on the rest of the agenda. Let's see, the County District Attorney's Executive Seminars in November. Also in November, which wasn't until Sim made this announcement that I forgot to include it, but we did announce though to every police office that we went to about the homicide conference for prosecutors and law enforcement. So your officers are aware of that. As we start sending out reminders for that, please let your officers know about that. And then I have down here future conferences. We can talk about the state of the budget. I'm hoping that we will have a healthy carryover, surcharge, non-lapsing carryover. And I think we have presented this our last meeting, but what we're hoping to do is we need to hold the advanced trial practice course anyway. We decided to not do it every year, but it's probably time to do that again. But we're hoping to have funds for that. We also talked about, and I'll call it something else, Train the Trainers Boot Camp. It's not Taka. It's for those that have been through Train the Trainers, but would like to bring them back and just do a really intense course on honing their skills, bring them up to date on the latest teaching methods and things like that. So we're hoping that will be on our future conference schedule.
UGA board with the Cooper Trust, they came up, they would like you, their bosses, to take a sampling of their test at the executive
county. So you can tell them we all fail.
We would just like you to know, we'll just give you a first hand thing if you can ask the questions, and just can give you a sampling of what your test is like. It typically takes about an hour and a half a day. 65% passing rate.
So the assistants in my office have complained, I guess, that some of it's
well-rounded, and some things may not apply to them, but it's something that is something that, you know, just something we'll learn.
Can I get a copy of it, so I know?
No.
They're like the ACT group, these folks, watch out.
Who puts it together? Is it your group that puts it together?
We put it, no, you can't look at the test. But you can go online and look at the study guide, the study manual. So, you have to tell them what to study for if you're here. But yeah, the test is, it took a long time to develop the test. It was developed by prosecutors and by adjunct professors.
I'm not criticizing it. I'm just wondering, because I have complaints that I want to address in my office, so.
Have them call me, and I'll talk to them, but no, we've never given the test out. We go to the test, because if it gets out, we have to start all over, and we already go through about every third year of retiring questions and refreshing questions. So we keep it pretty close.
Do you want to talk about the poster hour?
The what?
The poster hour at the Friday conference?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that? Because that's kind of a new thing, and we're going to make some ideas.
Well, you saw that at a conference, but Donna brought this to our attention. I thought this would be, we've been trying to do something at fall conference that brings everybody together for either networking or just bringing people together and having something to do after the conference hours. And so Donna had this, or saw this at another conference, so I'll let you explain what it is.
So at the Parents Against Women conference in Dallas, it's a national conference, and there's, yeah, it's a big conference. There's 3,500 people that go to it. But one of the things that I enjoy the most, actually, of the whole conference is they have a poster hour. And so you go into this ballroom, and there's people all around the edges of the ballroom with a poster talking about something innovative that they're doing. And then they have the person standing there that you can ask questions about it. So, you know, you see new ideas for things to do and ways to handle things that are kind of innovative, and you get to talk to the person who's actually doing it. They're standing right there. And so I've stolen lots of good ideas from that poster hour. And so I thought, what if we did one in Utah for people that are, you know, trying some new innovative kind of things and they're having success at something? We could have people like, you know, CJ Seek come and talk about, you know, the ones that are trying full-time forensic interviewers. How's that going? Do they, you know, I mean, things like that that we should, you know, kind of know about, and the person standing right there so you can ask them questions. And then in the middle of the room, they had tables, high tables, so you could just stand there and put down, you know, they had food and drinks and stuff, and you could put your stuff down and talk to other people. So that it's around the edges of the room are the poster people, and you can walk around and talk, but you can also talk to just other people that are there. You know, it's kind of a networking thing. So.
What do you guys think? I think offices would be willing to do that.
If somebody's trying, you know, something.
It's for fall, is what it would be like.
In addition to
the conference. Yeah, it would be like, you know, like they're saying, excuse me, in the evening, like, you know, happy hour type thing.
It's a happy hour, kind of, but it's informative. So you can walk around and talk to people as much as you want, or, you know, you can just go and eat food. I mean, it's up to you, but we would have to start soliciting people to come and do it.
Yeah.
And maybe even pay for them to have a poster, you know, made up or whatever. Might have to reimburse them. Like, if they pay, you know, $20 for a poster, we might be able to offer them to reimburse them for that. But, I don't know. It's just an idea that I had that I really enjoy when I go to that conference every year. I get to walk around and see what's happening around the country that's really kind of unique. You know, Greg could have a poster about the simulator experience and have somebody standing there that's actually done it, and why people promoting it to other prosecutors and things like that.
And there's been that networking component missing from fall conference.
And that way it would be justified to sort of, you know, pay for the refreshments for it, because they're, you know, learning right. something. It's not just a happy hour, but it has that kind of feel.
Maybe good, because you think of all the topics that we're not able to address. There, you know, as the training committee looked at all the things that were on there, and I think, Greg, I mean, as far as, you know, as far as some of the prostitution rings that are out there that are, you know, they're basically the sex slaves ones that we got in town, and we helped St. George bust one down there, and I mean, they're over. You could do something like that.
Yeah, that would be great. That like you're saying, those prosecutors that are in areas where you wouldn't expect that to occur, or any particular crime, right, that they could have a poster up and it could be really informative.
The gambling machines that are out there, they say are gambling machines. You know, we could have different topics like that if we could get people involved.
Yeah, and things that are, people that are trying their good, like I will have one for the trauma stuff. I'll have a poster there to talk about trauma-informed, you know, protocols and how you can, prosecutors can use those trauma principles in their trials, you know, things like that. And then I think we should get other partners of ours, like CJC's and the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition. You know, I don't think prosecutors understand what they do. We can have our partners come as well as prosecution offices doing, if they're doing something innovative. Tyson did a great program when he was at West Jordan called the Hot List, BB Hot List meetings, and they would meet, I don't know, that's a kind of a new approach to getting everybody together on DV cases. And so we could sort of start asking around. We're going to have to solicit people specifically to do it because they're not going to know about it. But if you guys would all think of ideas, you know, we want it to be a success since it's the first time we're doing it. But
what I'd be interested in seeing is jurisdictions that have implemented whether, you know, certain type of programs or other problem solving courts or probation programs because of the change in the GRI that's kind of shifted down the
program. That's a really good idea.
Because we're trying to think of ways to handle that in our jurisdiction. So if other people have implemented things or whatnot, that'd be interesting to me.
So it sounds like everybody would be on board. So if we were to come to your office, since you're here today, and say, remember, when we discussed this, we wanted to send some sort of poster. I'll take silence as a yes, Steve.
Yes,
Things like the FIND program, what's happening with that? Can we still use it? What does it do? You know, those kind of things. Is it still going to be a thing in Utah, or are we going to have to phase it out? I mean, just things like that that don't take, you know, you don't want a 90-minute presentation on it. You don't want a breakout session on it because it's not, doesn't take that much time.
So, I mean, just like my wife always says, you're almost thinking and you're doing it out loud. Before, you know, I mean, we haven't been sold on it yet. I don't know that the prosecutors would be. Would people come back an hour and a half later to get involved in this? Mm-hmm. What if first go around we decided to do that over the lunch hour, where they would be there? I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously.
Kind of a teaser.
Yeah.
Well,
or if we actually held it during the lunch hour.
Yeah, as opposed to doing it at night, trying to get people to come back.
I don't know what folks think about that. I mean,
because that really is a concern.
It's the second night. If you get to see everything in Vernal the first night, then I can see you'd be
that
all right.
That is a good idea.
And then if
they do one at the National Drug Court Conference, that's in the evening, but they do like just a dessert bar. That's kind of how they get people there. But they invite vendors.
Dessert bar, that's a good idea.
They invite vendors to come, and the vendors are the ones that pay for the dessert bar.
See, we've had a problem in the past with, we've kicked this idea around a lot of having vendors set up outside. What's been the problem with that, Bob?
Yeah, and just because we're not a 501c, you know, we get state funds, and so we have to comply with state purchasing. And I got a general, yeah, it's a good idea, but and kind of left it there, and I haven't pursued it. Yes, that is something that we thought about. You know, the concern that Steve has raised is you know, promoting rural and the outdoor activities and things you can do, it's